good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials on this beautiful Saturday morning. You ever heard the phrase, red sky in the morning is a sailor's warning? Okay, get ready. If that's true, we got storms coming. This comes from the book Farmer Boy by Laura Ingalls Wilder. Almanzo felt a little better when he sat down to the good Sunday dinner. Mother sliced the hot rye and Indian bread on the breadboard by her plate. Father's spoon cut deep into the chicken pie. He scooped out big pieces of thick crust and turned up their fluffy yellow undersides on the plate. He poured gravy over them. He dipped up big pieces of tender chicken, dark meat and white meat sliding from the bones. He added a mound of baked beans and topped it off with a quivering slice of pork fat. At the edge of the plate, he piled up dark red beet pickles, and he handed the plate to Almanzo. And it comes from Laura Ingalls Wilder. Let me read this to you right here. We're here for one reason. We're learning. We're learning how to improve our health. If there was ever a time in history, I think now would be a good time to work on improving your health. If you want to be productive and you don't want to be sick, do you want to spend your life savings on healthcare costs that are so expensive that nobody can afford those? Last week, a woman told me that the doctors are recommending a treatment to her. The treatment only cost $270,000. Well, who can pay that? The answer is just about nobody. So let's start learning and doing things that are going to produce great, radiant health. I'm going to read this to you right here. This comes from a woman by the name of Annalise Schoeneck, if I pronounced her name correctly. I think it's a French translation, so I may have butchered her name. Okay, here goes. The digestive process has two distinct features. One is breaking down of ingested foods. The other is the buildup of nutrients needed by the body, or the building up of nutrients needed by the body. If the breaking down is incomplete, the building up of nutrients cannot proceed correctly. Okay? In reality, we nourish ourselves not by what we eat, but by what we are capable of breaking down and transforming into nutrients the body can use. Of great importance in this process is the role played by the aromatic substances that are formed during lacto-fermentation. The aroma of lacto-fermented foods is the byproduct of certain substances present in infinitesimal amounts, but essential for the ultimate assimilation of the food to the body. Okay? Hippocrates expressed this principle with the words sua via nutriunit, which that which smells good nourishes and promotes healing and health. Thus, the role of these substances that make fermented foods taste good goes far beyond that of the gustatory pleasure and the stimulation of our digestion to that of our general well-being. What is astonishing is that lactic acid contributes to both processes, that of the decomposition and that of the reconstruction. On the one hand, it supplies digestive juices in the form of organic acids that help break down the food that we eat. And on the other, it activates these metabolic processes whereby these foods are transformed into new living substances. Lacto-fermented foods normalize the acidity of the stomach. If stomach acidity is insufficient, it stimulates the acid-producing glands of the stomach. And in cases where acidity is too high, it has the inverse effect. I can tell you what that means, folks. That means heartburn, acid reflux, indigestion, hot boiling acid at 12 o'clock midnight from the lasagna you ate at 8 o'clock, coming up your throat. Lactic acid helps break down proteins and thus aids in their assimilation by the body. It also aids the assimilation of iron. The decomposition in the stomach of the organic acids of iron depends on the quality of hydrochloric acid present, as well as the amount of vitamin C, which is why sauerkraut and other lacto-fermented vegetables rich in this vitamin have such a favorable influence. Lactic acid activates the secretions of the pancreas, which is particularly important for diabetics. That may be an understatement. Sauerkraut contains large quantities of choline, a substance that lowers blood pressure and regulates the passage of nutrients in the blood. Choline has another interesting property in that it aids the body in the metabolism of fats. If you haven't heard anything, you might want to listen to that. If choline is lacking, fats accumulate in the liver. Sauerkraut also contains acetylcholine, which has a powerful effect on the parasympathetic nervous system. It helps to reduce blood pressure, it slows down the rate of a heartbeat, and it promotes calmness and sleep. As acetylcholine is destroyed by cooking, raw sauerkraut and its juice is preferable to cooked sauerkraut or cooked foods. Acetylcholine also has a beneficial effect on the peristaltic movements of the intestines. That means moving your food along at a timely rate. What is the opposite of that? That would be called constipation. Sauerkraut and other lacto-fermented vegetables thus are recommended for constipation. Another point, what is the element that is deficient among someone that has memory loss and they have dementia and their brain is on the path to neurological degeneration? Well, that would be acetylcholine. So what do you see with Alzheimer's? You see a deficiency of acetylcholine. Even in this just little bitty article that I read from Annalise Schoeneck, it demonstrates one of the problems that we have with America. We eat food, we don't digest it, and we wonder why we're on all these drugs. If you'd like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. Now, I didn't tell you, but I'm pretty sure you've already figured this out. What do you think the positive takeaway is this morning thus far? Well, if you're paying attention, you've probably said to yourself, I wonder if I should go to the store and buy some kimchi that's raw. Yeah, you figured it out. Or how about some sauerkraut that's raw? Yes, bingo, you win the prize. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I have a question. I think I've ever asked the doctor. It's about my ears. I mean, well, what I'm hearing a hissing. I've heard of tinnitus, ringing in the ears. How about hissing in the ears?
You mean like a snake is hissing?
Well, it's just a constant, I don't know if it's electromagnetic waves or what it is, because they're all around us all the time, you know, everywhere it seems like.
Well, that means that's what you're thinking of, right?
Well, it's just a...
Okay. And how long has it been going on?
Gosh, I think about a couple of years.
Well, why don't you go camping out in the wilderness and lay on the dirt under the stars at night and see if the hissing goes away? You get away from all those electronic magnetic waves.
I don't know. I have no idea. I haven't thought about, you know, trying to go outside and see if I don't hear it. But
I'm going to recommend Saskatchewan. Just joking. All right. But this is really annoying to you, right?
Very. And my husband has the same thing. He hears the same hissing in his ears.
Well, do y'all ever, like, leave the house for a couple of days and both make the observation, like, hey, I noticed that once we're gone from the house, the hissing goes away?
No, I'll have to try that. I mean, have you ever heard of anybody complaining about that before?
Yes.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
Hissing, not ringing, hissing mm-hmm. in the ears.
Right, mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, no, it's weird. I'm not saying I hear it all the time. I mean, there's some things you just kind of hear in passing. But, I mean, I don't want to be guilty of putting words in your mouth. So what do you say is the main bottom line on this? Is this just like a continual annoyance for you and your husband?
Mm-hmm.
Are you healthy in every other way?
Pretty much, except for the pain in my hands that I came to you about a couple of months ago, and have changed my diet a lot. I can't. Everything has oxalates in it. It just, I mean, that's another subject. But.
No. Everything does not have oxalates in it, but there are some things that have very high amounts of oxalates.
Yeah.
And
yes.
That's going to be things like spinach and nuts of any kind and potatoes.
Cut that out. Even sweet potatoes.
Well, have you noticed any improvement since you've done that?
Not to a great extent.
Okay.
But then I was noticing on one of the lists of oxalates was including elderberry. And ever since you-know-who had to keep up the scare, has to keep up the fear about the exposure to just everywhere of communist Chinese virus, we were taking elderberry quite a bit last year. I've quit doing that. But I've been healthier as far as colds or sinuses or sinus headaches or congestion all last year. I mean, just very noticed improvement.
Well, what is the bottom line for you? What do you want to see happen to your body and your health more than anything else?
Well, I can't say I need to lose weight because my weight's gone down a little bit.
Well, would you say that's been one positive thing that's come from the changes you've made?
I don't know. I can't give blood anymore because I don't weigh over 105 or 104. That's not a problem. I'm not gonna waste away or wither away.
Right. What is the bottom line for you? What do you want more than anything else?
Get rid of pain. Get rid of pain.
Where's the pain?
The pain is in my hands.
Okay. Well, there's got to be a reason why it's hurting. What does the pain feel like? Describe it to me.
It feels like a bee sting now in my left hand, in my middle finger. You know, when you get stung by a bee or a wasp, your finger swells up or hand or whatever, it swells up. It feels stiff, hard to bend.
And is this the case right now?
That's how it feels, yeah.
Okay.
And it's
anybody in your family have an autoimmune disease like rheumatoid?
No.
Okay.
It's almost been a year since I had the carpal tunnel surgery.
Okay. Well, there's probably some scar tissue in there, just from the residual scar tissue that's going to occur once you have a carpal tunnel surgery.
Even up to the fingers? If the fingers...
Well, let me use myself as an example. When I was 2 years old, I ran through a glass door that I didn't see in front of me, and I sliced up my wrists. I got a ton of stitches in it right now. Well, I mean, the stitches are gone. And I've got a ton of scar tissue that's residual from the age of two.
Mm.
Okay, I'm not anywhere close to 2 years old right now, as you know. But to make a long story short, I have a huge amount of scar tissue in my left wrist. And so from that, at one point in my life, it was extremely annoying. I had consistent pain in my hands all the time from the wrist to the fingertips.
So you can really... sympathize. Sure.
I can. Well, let me tell you what the solution was for me. So through this process of trying to figure out what... I mean, you already know what I'm like. I'm kind of a curious person. I like to figure things out. I like to read things. I'm an information junkie. That's just what I enjoy. So if you tell...
I read labels. Yeah.
Oh,
people
yeah.
just amaze when I say, you know, this has got this in it and that. And they say, what? It's on the label. Yeah,
the funnest thing that I say this week was a documentary, and I listened to it on the radio, about British commandos destroying a naval base and a dry dock where they were having this German battleship. It was one of the coolest stories of all time. But that's neither here nor there right now. And so in trying to figure this out, I tried all sorts of remedies. I'm not even going to go through all of them. But I never could get relief. Now, I came across this book, and I remember where I bought it. I was at Townies Boulevard, Mesquite, Texas. And just off the boulevard, there's a little shopping center. And in that shopping center, they have a store called Half Price Books.
Yes.
Well, I went to Half Price Books. Well, my favorite part of the store is any of the sections that relate to natural medicine and natural health care and healing and diseases. I just like all that stuff. It's what I'm supposed to study. Came across this book that was written by a French gentleman. And this French gentleman wrote the book. I forgot his name. I'm trying to think. It was like Healing Dirt or something like that. It doesn't even sound right. Maybe the translation from French into English just didn't do it justice. But anyway, that was my first experience probably 28 years ago with the idea of what's called calcium bentonite clay and kaolin clay. If you want to call it volcanic ash, well, you can. But all this stuff, it has a very magnetic property to it, even though it's really, you can't really just measure it easily unless you're in a university where you have the equipment. So what I did was I took apple cider vinegar, and I mixed it with this dried powder that I had ordered probably from a store, because there wasn't really the internet back then. And so I took it, and I started making a mud pack, and I covered my hand and my wrist. And I think my daughters, Katie and Sarah, were out in the backyard with me, so they smeared mud all over their hands, too, because it's just mud. That's all it is. You just think about the consistency of this thick, mud-like paste. And so what I did was I did a technique called a mud pack of my wrist and my hand. It took two times, and I've been completely 100% pain-free ever since. Wow. I don't even do it anymore. I mean, I've never experienced anything like that. So I'm just telling you that even though this is unusual, that was my solution for ending my hand pain. Now, when you've got a finger that's swollen, one thing that you got to think about is you got to think about the condition called autoimmunity. Even though nobody in your family has it, you can't just ignore it and say, well, why is my middle finger sting and burn? Why does it hurt? There's got to be something to it. So if I told you in a meeting that I felt like the oxalates could be a problem, obviously you got to put that to the test. But if that doesn't completely pan out, then we got to start pursuing there might be other factors that are associated with this. And the big ones that I see day in and day out are as follows. Number one, if you've got swelling of the hands or the fingers and it doesn't go away, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the kidneys and I'm going to take a close look at those. And so when you go to your doctor, if he presses into the kidneys and they produce pain and you have fluid in your lower legs, which at 105, you probably don't have that issue. And but what would cause that would be continual low-grade infections that either come from the sinuses or the tonsils, but the teeth are the big one. So one of the biggest things that I experience day in, day out is if somebody has like one finger that's like swollen, I'm looking at the potential for a low-grade dental infection. If that's not the case, we got to go backwards and just look at your former carpal tunnel surgery. So if I ask you a question, did you have the swelling of your finger prior to the carpal tunnel surgery?
No, and the finger really doesn't look swollen. It just
but
feels
it hurts.
Ginger, and I cannot straighten it completely.
Okay, and so you would say it's true. This was not there prior to the surgery, correct?
Yeah, right. And, okay. And I have been reading more about trigger finger and Dupuytren's, and
All right.
I don't know if you've ever, well,
yes,
I need to let you continue before I tell you about this.
All I'm saying is, if you didn't have it before the surgery, and it's true that you have it after the surgery, then we need to explore scar tissue adhesions and formation. And we may have to go in there and manually break them up.
I massage it, and that does seem to help. And I have
Then bingo, we're in business.
I have a Panasonic massager thing. It's pretty old, but my husband patched it up with some glue and stuff on the end.
Panasonic, it sounds like an 8-track tape player to me.
I know.
You did keep all your 8-track cassettes, didn't you?
Oh, no.
What?
And my cassettes.
Okay, so at least you got your foot in the door on this.
I do put the massager on it in the morning when it's really, I mean, if I wake up with pain and it's pulling, you know, it's constricting in there.
Well, let me just tell you what you can do right here. You can do a hand paraffin bath. You know what a hand paraffin bath is?
Yes, and a friend of mine just got one of those. They said that let me try it. And
then do it.
Get off, I know.
And then
the hot water does feel good.
Before you say hot water feels good, we're trying to find some way to tap into healing here.
Yeah.
And so what if you do have a Dupuytren's contracture? Quite often that's an iodine deficiency.
I'm taking iodine, yes.
All right. Well, you've already got all this figured out, don't you?
Well, now you've read about or heard that it's related. And one of our customers actually has Dupuytren's and found out when she had the DNA genealogy test that you can send off and everything. She has some Scandinavian heritage, and there's...
Oh, my goodness. We should send her to Norway so she can go fishing every day, right?
Or stick it in one of those hot water springs they have over there.
If you can get a ticket to Norway, I recommend you do that.
Well, I'm not... I don't have any Scandinavian in me, I don't think I do.
Well,
but there's some things related, and it said that... This is what I'm getting around to. The bromelain has been helpful, it said. And some of the things for Dupuytren's helps trigger finger.
All these things make sense to me. But
you got to
get to the root cause of the problem. What's causing the swelling of your finger?
The scar tissue.
Well, if you rub it and it starts to go away, then yeah. So why don't we focus on that?
And put clay and apple cider vinegar on it.
That's it, yeah. Find out about how to do a mud pack on your wrist right over that carpal tunnel.
Well, I've got some mud pack somewhere I can put on it. I will just try that.
Well, let me know how it works out. I wish you the very best.
But the hissing in the ears, you don't just go out and listen to the crickets, right?
No, but here's a couple of things that I would say. One thing that beeswax does a great job of, it helps neutralize what are called ions that cause irritation to the ears. Have you tried a beeswax ear candle?
Yes, I can't get it to work. My husband tried to do it for me, and I couldn't do it. We couldn't do it.
What do you mean you couldn't do it?
He just couldn't make it, couldn't get it to burn. And
wait, no, 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 no. It's easy. You just take your cigarette lighter and light it. It burns.
What cigarette lighter?
The one you buy at Walmart.
So,
I'm not saying you smoke cigarettes.
Do I cover my hair in asbestos first or what?
You're making this way too complicated. It's super easy.
Do you put a paper plate under the candle or what?
I never do. I never do any of that stuff.
Really?
I had kind of an unusual circumstance one day when I was in Dallas. I don't know why it happened, but, you know, all you can do is just respond to it. But all of a sudden, I had this weird spinning sensation in my head, and I said, my goodness, what is the deal here? And I felt like that my left ear was a little bit clogged up. Now, just because I don't know the reason why, I'm just like you are. I'm tuned into my body, so when your body starts telling you, something's not working right. So I started having this dizzy spinning feeling, and I had a headache. And I'm telling you, I never have headaches. That ain't my problem. Some people, they have headaches all the time. And so what I did was I thought to myself, okay, Roy, what are you going to do? You're kind of uncomfortable right now. You don't feel like driving. So I pulled over, and I was in the parking lot. And I know exactly the parking lot of the restaurant that I was in, but that was just right there on 75, the one that goes from, you know, Dallas, from North Dallas to McKinney and Plano. Mm. So I was right there, pulled over, so I could hear the highway, and the sun was starting to go down. So I fumbled around the car, and I found a beeswax ear candle. And I found a cigarette lighter. No, I don't smoke cigarettes, but, you know, sometimes you need fire. You ever heard of fire? It comes in handy.
That is true. And the lighter doesn't go out if you get it wet.
Exactly. So I took the beeswax ear candle, and I candled my ear. And all
of a sudden,
well, it's a piece of cake. What do you mean, oh, my goodness? I've done this thing 100 times. I don't even know how many times I've done it to people. It's a cakewalk.
I know.
A child could do it.
That's what it seems like. That's what it seems like to me.
Well, it's as easy as just lighting it and sticking it in your ear. How about that?
Just stick it in your ear.
Well, yes, it's very, very easy to do. And here's what I'm going to encourage you to do.
I'll give up. Man.
Don't overthink it. I don't even believe the story about how your husband can do it. That didn't even make sense. All he has to do is light it and stick it in your ear. That's it.
Okay.
It's called
he can do so many other things. He should be able to do that. He's very handy.
Well, he can do. If he doesn't understand how to do it, watch a video on YouTube. It'll take him 2 minutes tops.
I'm going to do that.
How to candle the ear. Oh, it's cakewalk. It's a piece of cake. Easy.
Okay.
Super easy to do.
And I've got rid of all of the flour, the gluten-free flour, because it did have potato starch in it.
Well, here's the deal. Whatever issues you're dealing with, your body is giving you the heads up saying something's wrong. So what I'm going to encourage you to do is keep pursuing improving yourself. If you don't know the answer to something, then let's figure it out. But you've got the right now you can do the paraffin bath. You can go on to YouTube and type in, my middle finger hurts following carpal tunnel surgery. What do I do? They will show you the massage techniques. They'll show you the exercises you can do. The ball is in your court. Very easy. You believe in taking care of yourself. Do the hand paraffin bath. Do the Indian healing clay or make mud packs with apple cider vinegar. Rub lemon juice all over the scar tissue.
Yeah.
Rub it,
yep,
massage it, break it up, stretch it, make it go away. Return the strength to your forearm. Start doing exercises. It's easy.
Yeah, I figured, well, I was taking elderberry all last year, and all this stuff that built up in there a while to get in there, so it may take a little while to get out.
You know? I really don't think elderberry is the culprit. I can tell you what I think the culprit is. I think it's spinach and nuts and white potatoes. And then if you don't use stevia.
I'm not using that.
Okay.
I'm not using spinach and white potatoes.
So this last week, how many times has your husband massaged your wrist and your hand where you had?
Never.
Okay, well, he can start doing that if he wants to.
If he wants me to massage his back, he'll have to massage my wrist.
Yeah, if he wants your hand and wrist working on him, he may have to spend some time working on your wrist. Yeah, simple as that. It's all doable. You can do it.
Well, I'm glad your scar tissue went away, because that's a lot to have since you're 2 years old.
My scar tissue never went away, but the pain that was generated from the scar tissue, that disappeared. And, of course, I wish I could really logically and intellectually explain how that happened. I can't. I just know it did.
There is a God in heaven.
Yes, well said. There's a God in heaven. And you know what it says in Deuteronomy 29:29? It says the secret things belong to God.
Amen. Amen to that.
All right. Well, I wish you the very best. Thank you for your phone call, ma'am. You can do it.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
As a matter of fact, you can candle your ear as much as you want. It's a piece of cake. I know I say piece of cake, but you know what I mean by that. The number here at the radio station is 903-586-5257 if you want to call and ask a question. Here we go. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes. Bless you for all you're doing.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you. Bless you for calling, young lady.
thank you. At 77, that's good to hear.
Ma'am, do not start the program telling me a story. I can tell by your voice you're more like 51.
bless you again. here's what I called about. I have a situation out here. I live between two cow pastures. My driveway goes between those two pastures. And I'm troubled with getting ticks, and I have tried all sorts of external things.
You mean ticks?
Ticks, little black, tiny things that get under my skin. They drop from the trees. They come up from the grass.
I have a solution for you.
Okay.
Hire a flock of guineas. They will take care of those ticks for you.
What's your second suggestion?
All right, tell me what you want to accomplish. I'll quit goofing off here.
Okay, well, I don't want to put anything on my skin because I know that, I mean, that is toxic because I know that the skin will drink it up. So I stay away from things that, you know, those commercial deep wood stuff and all that.
You're talking about like bug spray, right?
Yeah. I don't want
to
put...
Or repellent.
Exactly.
I agree with you. I don't want that stuff on my skin either.
Now, I've tried garlic capsules, and they don't really seem to help much. I'm a greeter at my church, so the raw garlic, you know, that's not a winner when you go into church smelling like garlic. Hmm.
Yeah, I can see how that might be an issue.
Yeah. So is that the only internal thing that I could do?
Well, they repel vampires and werewolves, if you put the cloves of garlic around your neck, that's what works the best.
Well,
I'm joking.
I know.
Okay, so what exactly are you asking me? You're looking for some type of natural repellent to keep ticks off of you?
Yes, because they can come about anywhere. I think, you know, the ones that get on my head and shoulders and all, I'm pretty sure are dropping down from the trees.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, and the others, you know, there's different ways they can, from the grass and the... from the ground and different things.
Yeah, if your blood wasn't so delicious, they wouldn't do this.
It's because I'm eating all that good food that you told us about.
Okay, now that I recommended it to you, now we've got the law of unexpected consequences because of it. One thing that you can try, it's called neem oil.
Okay.
I'm sorry, why did you say okay?
Did you spell that?
N-E-E-M. Neem.
Oh, that's easy.
See, I made it too hard again. But the other thing that I've seen work, and actually I've seen this product sold at Walmart. It's over where they have camping, backpacking, but they have these little spray bottles where they have the essential oil of lemon, and I want to say the one that I tried had neem oil in it, but you just kind of spray it on your pants legs, and it keeps ticks and insects away from you.
Yeah, what would you do about those that come onto your shoulders and head and just spray everywhere?
Well, you sure you don't want to go to a Tractor Supply and get a flock of guineas today? They'll eat every tick in the universe.
You know, we tried having guineas once, and the coyotes gave us terrible fits. Poor things, they didn't last.
I'll tell you
what. They couldn't combat with the coyotes.
I watched a coyote chase a rooster across the road one day. Man, it was a close call. The rooster barely got away, but minus a whole bunch of feathers in the coyote's mouth.
Oh,
so
wow.
No, it's just the way it is. I mean, you're going to have to find...
Essential lemon oil.
Well, yeah. You're going to... And they sell those sprays. They can't be more than just a few bucks at the store, but you could try spraying that on your clothing. And is that what you're saying? You walk from your house to the mailbox for exercise and stuff
like
that?
Yeah, it's about... Oh, right. It's about 300 feet or so. I don't live right on the road. It's a ways back, and there's just no other way to get there. I don't fly, or, you know, if I had a really strong guinea, I might. I'm less than 100 pounds.
Okay. One thing that I think that I would do is I'd probably go online and find if there's any predatory insects that like to eat ticks. And, you know, the first thing I look
up... You
know,
that is an excellent idea, because I heard that different insects have been eradicated by other critters, like you don't see scorpions much anymore.
Do you know what scorpions' main food is?
No.
Fiddle
I thought bites. It was me for a while.
Like I told you, this high-quality nutrition is making your blood super delicious to all the animals. You know, I would probably do a literature search, and maybe for all I know, there's an insect that loves to eat ticks for dessert. Maybe it's called a praying mantis. I don't know.
Hmm. get a lot from A&M and or ask A&M to come down like they did with the, was it ladybugs one year?
Oh, we had a, totally.
And what was it they were after? Was it the fire ants or what? I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
I can't. I just know.
But I know this mystery can be solved just by doing a literature search, and we can figure it out.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sure somebody listening right now has a brilliant recommendation. They're probably going to say, if we could turn the thermostat down to 40 below zero for 6 weeks, that will take care of it.
Well, we tried that back in January, and I got frostbite on my fingers a little bit.
Oh, no. So that really didn't work.
Don't do that one. But, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do what you said. I have one other question. I know you've got other people
ma'am.
Waiting. A while back, somebody called in and said that flax seed, you know, the ground flaxseed for extra fiber and whatnot, had some effect on your hormones, like estrogen or something.
Well,
and I have checked with a number of sources and have not found that. I found a lot of good things about flax.
Yeah, and
can
I tell you where it's coming from, though?
Okay.
And I'm not trying to be hypercritical of any group of people, like men, for example, but I want to ask you a personal question. Do you think that today, in the year 2021, that men look more masculine and more manly than ever before? Or would you say that men are looking a little bit more effeminate and less masculine?
The second.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, where this information comes from, I'm trying to think of the book that I have sitting on my desk. I think it's called Estrogen Nation. And so, for example, there are compounds that are found in nature that have more of an estrogenic quality about them. But flaxseed, it has a pretty high one. And so it's higher than anything else. And so every time you consume flaxseed, that's one of the things that's happening, is you're kind of flooding your body with estrogens. Now some people, their livers are in such good working order, they can deal with it. But if you have a 17-year-old that's 6'2", and he has a full set of female-like breasts, then you know there's a problem.
So are you saying it would probably affect men more than women?
No, but I'm saying my reference point is men usually need a dominant hormone called testosterone.
Right.
And so when you water that down with a boatload of estrogen, they start acting more like women, which is not good for a man. And women,
well,
it's good for a woman to act like a woman if you're a woman.
Well, now my doctor, who does pretty thorough tests on me, says my liver's working well.
Well, No. That don't make it look. I'm sorry. We can't put any emphasis on that. Your liver could be 70% dead, and the liver enzymes are still normal.
Uh-huh.
I would prefer. So, for example, one of the ways that you know there's too much estrogen is if you have these little bitty red cherry hemangiomas all over your body. Like little bitty red dots on your skin.
No, I don't.
Okay. And it may be that your liver is very efficient, but you have to understand how medicine operates. The whole gamut of lab testing usually is geared toward disease, which means, and I hear this every single day, it doesn't really annoy me anymore. It used to, but now I just don't think anything of it. But every time somebody comes to see me, like, for example, a woman told me yesterday, she said, they did a test, they showed on my right liver, I started to say right liver, I meant to say right kidney, I was close, but the right kidney, there is a tumor growing on my kidney. It's composed of blood vessels, muscle, and fat. And it's called an angiomyolipoma. That just means it's a tumor composed of a bunch of arteries growing, mixed with muscle, and a whole lot of fat in it. Are we on the same page?
You're right.
Okay. Guess what the doctor says every time he tests it, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger? He says the same phrase, let's just watch and wait and see what happens. Every time. So what did he say here when he redid the test? Let's watch and wait. Okay, what did he say there 2 years ago? Let's just watch and wait. And I hear that all the time, but what I would rather do is I'd say, okay, if the conditions are right for tumors to grow in the kidney, shouldn't we, like, address some of those reasons? And so I gave her a couple of recommendations on what to do to try to get the body to eat the tumor and digest it and break it down. And one of those was just skipping breakfast. I told her, if you skip breakfast, your body will eat you.
In some cases, that would be good.
In a lot of cases, that'd be good. It's not everybody needs that, though.
Right.
But you're right. And so flaxseed, in some people, it has great potential to increase estrogen levels. And so a lot of times, if a woman was prone to, like, a growth in her breast or the uterus, that might be called adding insult to injury, putting too much estrogen in her body.
Oh, right.
Now, technically, you've got to have potassium, magnesium, and zinc, and B vitamins to be able to break down and detoxify estrogen. Now, for a man, he has a hormone fluctuation that goes over a 24-hour cycle. Yeah, men have hormone fluctuations not like women do, though. Women, their hormone fluctuations are over 28 days when they're in their fertility years.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that, don't you?
Barely. Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, so are you saying that you're using flaxseed to maintain your regularity and high-quality bowel movements?
Mainly for the nutrients and just to add to the fiber. I do eat a lot of... I take your recommendation about the salad every day, practically every day.
Oh, great.
I do eat a large salad with a variety of green vegetables in there. I stay away from high-carb stuff, but I try to get a good mixture of the brightly colored ones, you know, the red, green, yellow, and all
job.
Of that. Uh-huh. I eat a lot of fish, like salmon, mackerel, tuna.
When is the next time that you have a fishing trip planned for the coast of Alaska? I want to go.
It's not on my agenda yet. There are three ponds around here, and they're all stocked, so... You know,
okay. This could work. Well, and so all I want you to do is just consider the book. I want to say it's called Estrogen Nation. If I'm wrong about that, or then I can look it up. It's sitting on my desk in my office right now. But in that, they have the research specifically. And if you saw the graph and chart, it just might make your head go, that's very interesting.
Uh-huh. Well, sir, and the flax is only one of my sources of fiber. I only eat about a tablespoon to two tablespoons of it a day because I get fiber from the vegetables and other things that I eat. So would that be getting up into the amount that could be dangerous? Or
well, it's something that I would think about and consider, yes. But then again, you know, here's the bottom line for me.
Okay.
Sometimes I have people in front of me, I think, oh, my word. They must come from superior genetics because, like, they are so radiant, so strong. I mean, you know as well as I do, some people, they have a really rough go because of their genetic heritage. And you know what I'm going to say.
I do.
If grandmother and grandfather lived on Doritos and Moon Pies and Pepsi Cola and ice cream every night, they're not going to probably be so radiant and healthy, are they?
Well, if they don't learn from the negative example.
Not everybody does.
True.
Have you ever been to a grocery store before and watched what people put in their shopping carts?
I have.
I mean, I'm just amazed at the amount of Coca-Cola and junk food that's in the shopping carts.
Well, maybe not so much Coca-Cola lately.
I've heard that. I've
oh,
heard
that's because, another story.
That's falling out of favor. Is that true?
With some.
Yeah, with some. Thank you for the some. Okay, so flaxseed potentially could put too much estrogen in the body, so if a person was prone to, like, inflammation, that might add insult to injury in those people.
I don't think I am. I seem to heal
right.
pretty easily. My blood sugar stays in the normal range. My A1C usually comes in around between 5 and 6.
Okay.
My last fasting blood sugar was, I think it was in the 60s. So,
well, that would just be one point in time, but if your hemoglobin A1C is between 5 and 6, it's much higher than 60 on average.
Uh-huh.
So, but I love what you're doing. You sound like you're strong, but you see the writing on the wall. If you're going to be able to have great health, it's going to be because you educate yourself and you learn and you put into practice principles
yes.
that help give you the best chance of having a long, healthy life, correct?
Yes, and learn from both the negative and positive examples you see around you.
Have you thought about purchasing an AR-15 to take out the coyotes when they come towards your guineas and chickens?
Because
you would look good with a rifle strapped across your...
I don't have one of those, but I do have some... yes, I have some protective devices in my possession, which I believe we're still allowed to have.
Last time I checked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I believe that I have asked you my two main questions
All right.
today.
Thank you for your phone call. Have a great day, ma'am.
You are so welcome. You too. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Okay, there's a phone line once again open, 903-586-5257. I hope you got the gist of the importance of having some fermented foods in your meals. Just a little bit. Very powerful. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Answer to that lady's problem is beneficial nematodes. It'll take care of over 270 types of insects, particularly ants, termites, fleas, ticks, grasshoppers, grubs. And she can probably find best information on dirtdoctor.com. And I'm sure there's lots of other sources, but dirtdoctor.com will give her several sources for beneficial nematodes.
Oh, man, what a great suggestion. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Isn't that nice? There you go. Nematodes. You know, all jokes aside, you want as many real toads on your property as possible. And frogs. They devour the insects. I watched a video one time where they took a giant African toad or frog and they put mice. He devoured like 15 mice, lickety-split. It was unbelievable. Like an insatiable appetite for rodents. Good morning. How are you today?
Fine, Dr. Morgan.
Thank you for your phone call.
Yes, sir. Sleep apnea. Extreme sleep apnea.
Who has it?
I do. Cortisol really high. How do you lose weight with a cortisol really high? It's like the chicken and the egg. If you can get rid of the weight, you can get rid of the sleep apnea. You can't get rid of the weight because the sleep apnea causes the weight.
Sounds like a vicious cycle.
It is.
Okay. There's two or three ways to do that. Number one, if a person, you're trying to start your day and get the cortisol as low as possible. And so one study showed that if women went for just a very short walk out of doors first thing in the morning, their cortisol was much lower later in the day. So that's one thing that you can do.
Great.
Okay, the other thing is, sunshine on the skin has been shown to lower cortisol. Now, obviously, I'm not trying to compromise your integrity as a lady. But if you were to go outside when it was like 85 degrees and you could wear a type of just T-shirt or a tank top that would give more of your arms and shoulders some sunshine exposure and you had shorts on,
yeah.
What you're doing is you're getting the natural sunshine that God has made, and that lowers cortisol. Number three, there is a principle in nature that's called earthing. And what it is you're putting your bare skin in contact with the Earth's gentle electromagnetic field. And even though I can't show it to you, there's these invisible electrons and ions that are being generated from the electromagnetic field of the Earth. This is something that God designed. And so to lower cortisol, sleeping in a tent on the ground It is absolutely the best way to do this. So that's free also.
All right.
Magnesium plays a role in helping to downregulate the body's expression of cortisol. B vitamins, they definitely play a role with this. Specifically, vitamin B1, that's probably one of the biggest players of all time. There's an herb that's found, it grows in India, it's called ashwagandha. That lowers cortisol. In women, there's a hormone or a neurotransmitter. We'll call it oxytocin. You ever heard of oxytocin?
Yes, sir.
So when someone's holding her hand and stroking and caressing her fingers and rubbing her shoulders and kissing her, she's getting a surge of oxytocin. Now, this is one of the great mysteries that I do not completely understand, but I know this. Oxytocin destroys cortisol.
Hmm.
And so over time, the more that a woman is hugged and kissed and touched and caressed in a good way, I don't mean your husband grab you in a bear hug and try to crush your ribs. That would not lower cortisol. That would raise it. And so the more that you get oxytocin to be released, you start to win the battle. And so all these things are going to take place. Now, here's the biggest deal right here. I'm saving the best for last. Or what I should say is I'm saving the biggest problem for last is what I should say. In the human brain, you have all these mid-central nuclei in the center of the brain. Collectively, between the prefrontal cortex, the frontal lobe, and these midline brain structures and nuclei, you have a system that's known as the default mode network. It's just your default mode. And so a lot of times when kids are born, their default mode is not established. And so kids are real sweet, they're kind, they're thoughtful, and that kind of occurs probably up to about age 6. But after age 6, this default mode network is on autopilot, and some people call it the subconscious mind. I'm okay with that. But the default mode network, this is your basic operating system. It tells you how you process information and how you think. And so just put that on hold for a second. Now let's go to a different scenario. You lay down in bed at night, and you think to yourself, oh, this is great. I love going to sleep at night. All I do is lay my head on my pillow. I don't think about anything. I'm not thinking about a conversation I had with my sister from 20 years ago. I'm not thinking about a stressful event that I have. I'm not thinking about a situation at church. I'm not thinking about the condition of our country. I'm not thinking about how I lost my job. I'm just turning everything off. That's when the default mode network is great. But most people, when they lay down at night and their default mode network is over-processing, they think about everything that they shouldn't be thinking about.
Right. Now,
you probably don't know what I'm talking about, do you? But what happens is when you lay down at night and you're over-processing and you're overthinking, some people call this looping, where you just keep thinking about the same thing over and over again real fast. I mean, on one level, you know it's ridiculous to think about a conversation you had 15 years ago and you're trying to work it out still. And I'm thinking, no, you can't do anything to change what happened 15 years ago. But your mind keeps looping and processing it. That's when you have an overactive default mode network. And so what happens is your body thinks, oh, my God. I'm telling you, it would almost be easier if you were being chased across the pasture by a pack of coyotes trying to eat your ankles than it would be overthinking, because the same thing happens. Cortisol is the chemical of fear, fear, fear.
Yes.
So there's only two emotions in the universe. One is love, and the other one is fear. Now, from love, you've got everything from joy and peace and happiness and kindness and gentleness and goodness and, what is the other one, self-control? Which one have I missed? I probably, but when it comes to fear, you know what that is? That's bitterness and resentment and hatred and jealousy and anger and hate, and it just keeps on going. You know what I mean, don't you?
Right.
When your default mode network is racing too fast, what happens is your body thinks, oh my goodness, I'm in danger. What do I do? So your body starts pumping out cortisol to counter that. It's simple as that. And so you got to find a way to stop that. And that is not easy to do. Now, there are very, very simple, straightforward ways to tackle that. but I cannot mention them on the radio. They are 100% natural. They're very, very safe. They work better than anything else, but I can't talk about it on the radio. It's not because I don't want to, but I can tell you what's going to happen. If I do, I'll either get my radio show canceled or somebody will, you know, complain profusely. But there's one thing that works above all else. Now, let me say it a different way. If I asked you, do you know what the 23rd Psalm is, what would you say?
By memory, it's out of mind.
Okay. So you could quote better than anybody else, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down. And you could keep going and going. Even the part that I probably tend to quote to myself, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So but anyway, even if you do that, that still won't stop your overactive brain and your default mode network from looping and from spiraling. It's like you're overthinking and overprocessing. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
You know how many phone calls that I've received this morning when I'm on the radio? I've already had 4. That's not right. 4 phone. They know I'm on the radio, but they're still calling me on my phone right here. But anyway, to make a long story short, we've got to find a way to control this, because if you can't get it back under control where your brain is really quiet, your body's going to be in the mode of pumping out more and more cortisol. This is a really, really big deal. I would say that probably 95% of all health problems are just because of this one thing. The body gets in the mode of pumping out so much cortisol it can't stop. So whatever we can do to help change this, that's what's going to lead to healing and repair and total body transformation. But you're going to have to rewire the brain. And the studies show if you can do anything to decrease blood flow to the default mode network, and you can increase blood flow, and I'm going to use myself as my example, if I can turn off my default mode network or tone it down and increase blood flow to all the other regions of my brain that I'm currently not using, then you can win. And it's as simple as that. And there's simple ways that you can do that by using natural substances that God has made for us. I just can't tell you what those are on the radio right now. I'm not trying to make a joke here. I'm just telling you the truth. I mean, don't you feel like I'm pretty honest and straightforward? And
You are. You are a gift of God.
If you ask me off the radio, I could tell you, but I can't do it on the radio.
All right.
I'm sure no one's wondering what I'm talking about right now. They're going, what is he talking about? But that's the whole key. You've got to get cortisol under control, and you've got to do it by any and every means that you can avail yourself to. So it's going to be a combination of diet and exercise and rewiring your brain. I mean, isn't there a verse like in Corinthians that says we're supposed to capture and bring every thought unto obedience for Christ? Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Do you ever feel like that's hard to do?
It is.
Okay, so I'm not alone. I have one other person in Texas that thinks like I do. It's really challenging. But that's what has to happen. So here's what we've got to do. We've got to retrain your body to down-regulate cortisol. Now, fasting can do that, because anything that lowers your insulin levels is going to lower cortisol also. So if you consistently skip breakfast and you don't have coffee in the morning, if you need coffee, just have it with your lunch. But if you skip breakfast, you're going to get your blood sugar lower and lower and lower, which means you're going to get your insulin levels lower and lower. And as a general rule, cortisol always tracks insulin. So if you can get your insulin levels lower, then you can lower your cortisol. So skipping breakfast, just having lunch and supper, 2 meals a day. That's one of the ways of doing that.
Do you think ketogenic would be helpful in doing that?
Well, that's one of the ways to tap into it. And so, okay, I'm not trying to be ridiculous here, but but what you're telling me is something has got to give in your health, right?
Right.
Okay, so we got to find out what are we going to do and what options are available to us. And so if you set your mind like Flint that you are not going to eat breakfast, that's a start and a move in the right direction.
Okay.
If you start reading really, you know, part of the point about controlling the mind is this. There's no way you're going to get cortisol levels lower if you're watching the news every day. That's just toxic garbage.
Mm-hmm.
do not touch the news.
Well, you're smart. Imagine what your cortisol levels would be if you started, you know, watching press conferences. You'd think, oh, my goodness, the world's coming to an end. You know what? The Saturday before last, when I was driving down the road, I listened to, like, an NPR program about the state of India and the coronavirus, and I thought to myself, if I believed what they said right now, I would think that India is about to be completely dead. There will be no one left alive. I'm sorry. I've just completely run out of time. We'll pick this up next week, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.